The communion table is the place of remembrance. It's the place of reflection. It's the place of examination. And I think when we sit at the communion table, we should all press pause on the busyness of life, all the things that are going on in life, forget about it. All attention should go to Jesus. I think also when we sit at the communion table, we should press pause on all the busyness of our Christianity. A lot of us as Christians get very, very busy serving in ministry, serving at church, or being involved with all the meetings and the planning and all the things that go on in ministry. And, you know, sometimes we just need to pause and look to Jesus. Just think about him and all that he's done. And that's what we should do tonight at the communion table. There are seven statements that Jesus made in the Gospel of John that are known as the I Am statements. Seven times in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, I am something. Tonight, I just want to briefly share all of those statements in hopes that it helps us to just look to Jesus tonight and consider all that he's done for us. I am statement number one. In John chapter 6, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. Now, what did Jesus mean by that? I believe Jesus, in making that statement, is saying that I am the source of deep inward spiritual satisfaction. He's saying, if you come to me, if you believe in me, if you come to know me, then you will never, ever hunger again spiritually. You'll never thirst spiritually. If you give your life to me, Jesus says, I will give you that deep, inner, spiritual satisfaction that you're looking for, that you crave. I'm the bread of life. Christian, we're blessed to have that, aren't we? To have the bread of life. You know, I look out in the world and I see so many people that are looking for that satisfaction in different places. They're trying to find it in things that this world might have to offer. They try to find satisfaction in money, right? They try to find it in a career. Or they try to find it in relationships, or they try to find it in worldly pleasures. They try to find it in alcohol or drugs or sexual pleasure. Everyone looking for that satisfaction. You know, this world can give you some temporary happiness, but it won't last long. And in fact, it's interesting, the world will dangle those things out in front of us and say, take this and it'll satisfy you. And not only will it not satisfy you, it can destroy you. Jesus completely satisfies you. When you give your life to Christ, you've found it, haven't you? And as we're sitting at this table, I just look back. So all of us as Christians can remember before we came to Christ and how we were looking and searching and wanting to find meaning, and how that search ended when you met the bread of life. Praise him for that. The second I am statement that Jesus made was in John chapter 8. I'm just going to read these to you. He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I'm the light of the world. Now, what do you think Jesus meant by that statement? And how has that impacted your life and knowing Jesus? Well, you know, in the Bible, light is symbolic of holiness, a moral lifestyle, a pure lifestyle. And so Jesus is saying, if you come to me, if you put your faith in me, I'll be the source of holiness in your life, the source of purity. I'll change your life. I'll take you out of darkness. And I'll put you on this beautiful, safe, wonderful pathway of holiness. That's awesome. Again, we sit here at the table and we sort of reflect and remember. And some of you can look back to your life before Christ and you can remember being addicted to sinful lifestyles, being caught up in all sorts of acts of destruction, just walking in darkness, making a mess of your life. But then you met Jesus. And he transforms us, doesn't he? He puts us on this wonderful path of holiness and freedom from addiction and good, pure living. No longer destroying yourself or other people. I've heard many testimonies lately about how a marriage was on the brinks of disaster and both became Christians and God put that marriage back together. Holiness makes our life clean. Light in the Bible is also symbolic of truth, right? And that's almost a universal symbol, light. When you see a little cartoon figure on a piece of paper with a light bulb going on over it, what does that mean? Eureka, right? I've discovered something. I have insight. Jesus is saying, you come to me, give your life to me, put your faith and trust in me, and I'll turn the lights on in your life. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago on Sunday, how when you become a Christian, the blinders come off. And all of a sudden you can see truth, big picture truth, and even daily practical living truth. Man, you look around in this world, and I think that's a perfect description of how many, many people are living, just sort of groping around in darkness, aimless. How did I get here? Where am I going? What should matter in life? Some of you can remember being just like that. And then you met Jesus. And he became your light. Rejoice in that tonight. Remember that. I am statement number 3. Jesus said in John chapter 10, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door. I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the door of the sheep. What do you think Jesus meant by that? Well, first of all, we know that he's saying that I am the only entrance into the kingdom of heaven. He's the only door. He's the only means by which a person can get saved. Jesus, even in that passage, says that anybody who would try to tell you that there's any other way to be saved other than through me is a thief, a robber, a ripoff. Because there is only one way. Jesus is the door, and he deserves to be that because he's the one who paid the price on the cross for our sins. Amen? There are not 100 doors. There are not 50 doors. There are not 10 doors. There are not 5 doors. There are not even 2 doors. There's 1 door. And if you go through that door, through faith in Jesus Christ, you will be saved and you will enter the family of God. Now, again, you look back at your life before Christ and you can remember, maybe some of you are coming out of like a religious system. Or maybe some of you can remember being a part of a cult, a dark cult, or a New Age philosophy, or Hinduism, or Buddhism, whatever, and you thought, oh, that can really help. That's going to help. And you just got frustrated. But then you met Jesus, and it clicked. Because Jesus is the real deal, isn't he? I'm the door. That statement is also Jesus basically saying that I will be your protection and security. There's a wonderful picture that goes with this when Jesus says, I'm the door. Shepherds in those days would take their flocks out on extensive journeys. They'd go way out and find a mountainside with lots of grass and take their flock there, and they'd set up camp there for a few days. And a lot of times that first day that the shepherd would show up, he'd put up a little mini pen, little fence. And the sheep would be gathered inside that pen so he'd know where they were during the night. There's wolves out there. They could come and attack. And so he kept them safe. There was one entrance into the pen. And he would watch his sheep come in, count them, make sure they're all in the fold. And then the shepherd would sleep at that one opening, literally becoming the door. And so that if there were any wolves out there that wanted to get in, they had to come through the shepherd. And that's the imagery here. Jesus says, come to me, give your life to me, I'll be your shield. Protect you. Christian, take comfort in that tonight. Some of you maybe feel like the wolves are circling. You've got things in your life right now that you're afraid of. Listen, Jesus himself is your shield, your protection, your door. We're safe. We're secure. And again, I think of people in the world, how they're just living their lives and they're just in such vulnerability out there, just running around life, not realizing how much danger they're in. And the lion out there, the Satan, the devil out there ravaging people, ruining people's lives, deceiving people. But if you're a Christian, if you've given your life to Jesus, you're inside that pen. Amen? You're protected. You're safe. Couldn't be any safer. Not because you're strong, but because the Lord Jesus Christ himself is your shield. I am statement number 4, also in John chapter 10, one of my favorite. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. I love that. Jesus is our shepherd. Now, what's he saying by that statement? He's saying, you come to me, give your life to me, I'll save you. and I will take full responsibility for all matters of your life. I will shepherd your life with skill, with care, and with kindness. When a shepherd took care of sheep, the shepherd had to take care of all of their concerns. Sheep are, well, they're dumb, aren't they? They need constant care. The shepherd would say, hey, no, we're going to go over here and we're going to eat here. We're going to go beside the still waters over here. We're going to be safe over here, leading the sheep around, taking care of them. Understand, my friend, my brother, my sister in Christ. The shepherd, the good shepherd, has taken ownership of your life. And he's taken responsibilities for all matters concerning your life. He's here to take care of you spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. He wants to lead you on the plan that he has for your life. And we're talking about things like, you know, where are you going to go to school? What kind of career? Who you might marry? All of these key decisions in life, he will lead you. He'll connect the dots in your life. And he'll do it skillfully, tenderly. And I love the intimacy. He says, I know my sheep and am known by my own. I want you to think about this. Jesus has signed up to be your shepherd. He knows you by name. He knows you better than you know you. He knows why he's created you. For what purpose and design and the plan that he wants to enact in and through your life. This is Jesus. Oh, how awesome he is. Again, I hear people every now and then, well, nobody's going to shepherd my life. I'll shepherd my own life. I did it my way. Yeah, and you made a train wreck too, didn't you? I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. Think about it. Before you came to Christ, how good of a job were you doing shepherding your life? You come to Christ. You give him the reins of your life. He leads you. He shepherds you. Cares for you day by day. The fifth I am statement, one of his most famous, in John chapter 11, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. I think that's pretty obvious what Jesus is saying there. So come to me, give your life to me, and I will be the source of hope in your life when you face death. I have defeated death, he says. I am the resurrection. I'm going to bless you all this life. I'll shepherd you. I'll be all these things. And then at that moment, when you come to your last breath, I'll be there for you then too. And I'll carry you safely across. Understand the blessing of knowing that. You know, most people on the planet are scared of death, right? They're scared to death of death. Most people think of death, it's the veil. It's the black hole. It's the great unknown. If you have given your life to Christ, it's not a black unknown. It's not a veil anymore. It's not a black hole. You know. He's defeated death. We know as Christians that the moment we die, the moment we take our last breath here, we breathe our first breath of heavenly air. Our souls go to be with the Lord. Our bodies go into the ground. They return to dust. But we also know that one day Jesus is coming again. And with the trumpet, the dead in Christ will rise, be reunited with brand new bodies, have the hope of heaven in brand new glorified bodies that are fit for eternity. Our certain hope in Jesus. It's been said that if you are prepared to die, then you are prepared to live. And as Christians, we know that we're all prepared to die. We know what comes next. I have a couple of folks that I'm aware of right now who have just gotten news of a terrible disease. They're facing death. How about you? When you're facing death, Jesus will be there with you. When I come to die, when I come to die, give me Jesus. Several folks in this congregation have had to deal with the pain and grief of losing a loved one to death recently. And what a joy it is to be able to stand at a funeral service or stand at a gravesite with believers, yes, mourning the loss, but also knowing that there's going to be a great, joyous reunion one day. The resurrection and the life. He's that to you. The sixth I am statement, also one of the most famous statements that Jesus ever made. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now that statement just sort of iterates some of the other statements we've already seen. I am the way, the only way to salvation, the only way to life. I'm the door. He says, I am the truth there. That would be like, I'm the light of the world. I zeroed in on the I am the life part. Jesus is saying, put your faith in me. Come to me, trust in me, and I'll give you life. I'll give you life. Real life. Abundant life. Isn't that what Jesus said? I came to give you life abundant, right? Life and life more abundantly. The Bible teaches that when you give your life to Jesus Christ, when you ask him to be your Savior, at that moment he gives you eternal life. Do you understand? Eternal life is given to you. A lot of times we think of eternal life as that which happens after this life. You know, here we are in this life, then we die and we go into eternal life. Not so. The moment you are converted, the moment you are born again, God gives you eternal life at that moment, which is a higher quality of life. You have eternal life right now. You're just simply going to enjoy it a whole lot more in the next life. You're going to experience it a whole lot more then. But right now, you have it. Life in Jesus. The seventh I am statement that Jesus made, John chapter 15. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. for without me, you can do nothing. Jesus is saying, come to me, let me have your life, and I will become the source of great fruitfulness in you. The whole imagery of the vineyards in mind here. You have this big vineyard, and you have the caretaker. God the Father is the caretaker of the vineyard. And then you have the primary vine, and from the vine come the branches, and it's off the branches that the fruit hangs. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Abide in me, and I will make you fruitful. Think of that. Jesus has promised to take your life and make it fruitful for his kingdom. And really, the only responsibility of the branch is to abide. You ever seen a branch work hard to produce fruit? The branch is just abiding in the vine, staying connected to the source of nutrients, health, thereby bearing fruit. Christian, I want you to know tonight that it is part of God's plan for your life that you would be fruitful. You don't have to sit here and guess. Boy, I wonder if God wants me to be fruitful. Yes. In fact, he wants you to be fruitful to the max. He wants to produce the most fruit possible in your life. That would speak of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the characteristics of Christ being produced in you. And I would also speak of the fruit of conversion, other people coming to Christ in and through your life. Through your testimony, through your witness. What an exciting thought. Some of you, again, you can look back to your life before Christ, and here you were just sort of destroying things, destroying people's lives, leaving a wake of destruction behind you as you lived your life. And you can come to Jesus. You've come to the Lord. You've been connected to the vine, and now he's turned your life into this blossoming, fruitful life, no longer destroying other people's lives, but leading others to Christ, blessing others. Oh, man. This is who Jesus is. This is what he can and will do in and through our lives as we allow him to. And by the way, all of that comes through your connection to Christ. It's spending time with him. Brother and sister in Christ, it's being enamored with the person of Jesus Christ in your life. All these good things, it doesn't come from programs and activities and maybe all the stuff that we think we're doing as Christians. It comes from your personal connection with Jesus Christ. Can God use the various things that we do in the church? Absolutely, I hope he does. But it's not those things. It's not a program. It's being connected and enamored with and holding on to the person of Jesus Christ. All of that blessing comes through your personal relationship with Christ. Seven times Jesus says, I am. By the way, when he says, I am, he's using this Greek phrase, ego eimi, which means the I am, the great. Moses asked God what his name was in the Old Testament. You remember that? And God said, my name is I Am. And Moses said, huh? That eternal, God says, I am. That's who Christ is. The great I Am. All that we've talked about and more. What else do you need? He's there for you. He's the bread of life, the source of satisfaction. He's the light of the world, the source of wisdom and holiness in your life. He's the door, the source of protection. He's the good shepherd, the one who will, with great skill and tenderness, lead your life. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the vine. He's the source of fruitfulness. And much, much more. Remember that. Remember that tonight. And remember tonight what he did for that to be true in your life. He left heaven, came to the earth. He went to the cross. All of our sins were placed upon him. He died, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. But never, ever forget the sacrifice. And never forget how much he loves you. How much he's done for you. How he's demonstrated it. Proven it. Greater love has no one than this. Than one would lay down his life for his friends. That's what we remember tonight. There's a story that's always sort of choked me up. There was an orphanage near an American Marine base in Vietnam. And one day the Viet Cong fired mortar shells into the orphanage, killing dozens of children and wounding many more. A little boy named Kai had a seriously wounded friend who needed a blood transfusion. Kai's friend had a rare blood type, and only Kai's blood matched it. Little Kai had never heard of a blood transfusion, but when the American doctors explained it would save his friend's life, little Kai volunteered. As the blood began to flow from Kai to his friend, Kai began to whimper. When the doctors asked if it hurt, he said no. A little later, he whimpered again. Again, he told the doctors it did not hurt. The doctors asked, "What's wrong, Kai?" With tears coursing down his light brown, dusty cheeks, Kai asked, "When am I to die, sir? When am I to die?" You see, little Kai didn't know that you only give a little blood. He thought you gave it all, and he was willing to do so for his little friend. The Son of God gave it all. Gave all of his life. So that we could enjoy these wonderful, wonderful blessings that we have. I'd like us to bow our heads. And I'd like each one here tonight to reflect. Think on Christ. Think on who he is, what he's done, how much he loves you, the sacrifice that he made. Think on how he has given your life satisfaction, how he has transformed your life, how he's opened your eyes, how he's your protection, source of fruitfulness in your life. Your complete source of hope in this life and for all of eternity. Abundant life. Just thank him. Worship him. In just a few moments, we're going to distribute these elements. Jesus told us to remember his sacrifice by partaking of these elements. This bread represents his broken body. This juice represents his shed blood. Partaking of these elements, it's a symbolic act. In partaking of these elements, you're saying that you have partaken of this internal life. You have given your life to Christ. And you do this as a believer, as a Christian, remembering what he's done for you. There may be some here tonight and you've never received Christ. You're the one that's been looking for satisfaction in all these other places and it hasn't come. You're the one that's been walking in darkness and now you need to be brought onto the pathway of holiness. Maybe you're the one that's been ripped off by other religious leaders. Meet the real deal tonight. Meet Christ. If you've never received Jesus, I want to invite you to do that right now. Pray this prayer. Just simply say this, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for paying that price. Thank you for shedding your blood. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I walk through that door right now. Come into my life and change my life. Save my life. Take ownership of my life. Lead me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. I'm going to ask the guys that are going to help me to distribute to come on up, and I would invite you to stay in an attitude of reverence, worship, thanksgiving. We're going to distribute these elements. I would ask that you hold them all together, and we'll partake of these together as a body.